commands the husband. The husband is supposed to have an ear tuned to God. If he's going to lead his family, he's got to be tuned to God. We saw that yesterday. We also saw that a priest speaks to God on behalf of the people. And so in our homes, if we're going to be priests, we speak to God on behalf of our children and our wife. Call out their names to God and have a burden for them. Ask God to give you insight about your wife and about your children. Even if they're grown, I believe that's important. And then, when was the last time that you had a family altar? If you have children in the home, oh my,
amen.
Don't miss the opportunity to train your children at a family altar.
Amen.
You see things that pop up in their lives, and that's like radar for you, insight for you of what they need to be trained in. And so you go to the scripture, and the Bible says that there's everything that pertains to life and godliness there. So the Bible has all the answers for all the things. And you find them, and you communicate them to your children. If you can't find them, they won't.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and take time and find them. And then when you make excuses for your children of why they're carnal, you're in trouble. They're in trouble, but they're in bigger trouble because you've already lost them. You cannot make excuses for them. You get along with God and find out what to do to help them not to go in the direction that they're headed. And talk to them about it. All right, now we want to move on from that launching pad to what is it then that God commands? Now, not just who does he command? He commands the fathers, but now what does he command? It's right here in this passage in verse number 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise. All of these are directives now. That is, they are verbs. And they tell him what to do. God tells him what to do. First, to arise. Go up to Bethel, dwell there, make there an altar unto God. But to arise from what? The implication is that he's reposed or that he's resting. He's resting from doing spiritual battle. Jacob is. Jacob is drawn back. We could say asleep or at least dozing at the job. The implication is he's so busy doing other things that revival would require him to arise from his focus to do what God wants him to do. This is what God wants the fathers to do.
Amen.
And sometimes you have to say, wow, I've got this iron in the fire, this iron in the fire, that iron in the fire, and we have to arise from some of those things to do what God wants us to do. Arise from our busy schedule. Arise from our rut of the same 7-Eleven every day. We dare not leave our families behind thinking that we'll have time to deal with them later. I'll take care of this later with them. And the devil will see to it that later never comes.
Right.
And so we've got to stop right now. He said, but it's inconvenient. Or I came home and I'm whipped. I am tired from my day's work. Yeah, but you're going to be more tired if you let that child keep going in the way they're going. You better stop and do some training. Well, you know, I want to just sit down and relax, preacher. I know. You'll have plenty of time for that when the kids are grown. Right now, it's child rearing time. Right now, you've got to give yourself to your children if you have children in the home. And so, do all of that other later. You shouldn't have had kids if you didn't want to take time with them.
Totally.
The great victory is not that you had the children, it's that you get to train them for the Lord Jesus. Remember that your family is your number one ministry, and as a father, I was determined not to leave one child behind. Remember Moses said, we're not going to leave a hoof behind? I was determined from that scripture. I was motivated. I'm not going to leave one child behind. But we had bumps along the way, and I shared some of them yesterday. We're not a perfect family by any means, but my focus was I want to make sure every child knows Daddy loves them and God loves them. I want to make sure that every one of my children know that I'm approachable. That's really important. That they can talk to Dad. They may be able to talk to Mom real good. That's wonderful. But they ought to be able to talk to Dad. If Dad's the head of the home. So get the hearts of your sons and daughters. Take time to do simple things with them, fun things. Get them on your team. We used to go camping. Go on picnics and hikes and fishing and just have fun together. We built family traditions, wrote a book about family traditions, but Brother Eccles didn't think it was worthy to bring. But you can order on the web. Amen. We worked together in the garden, and we would talk as we worked. We bicycled around our town, and we took them on our ministries with us so that they could get a heart for the ministry and learn to serve. And on we gave them piano and music lessons and voice lessons, and because these things will contribute to ministry in their life and fulfillment. So just different things. We had traditions. Funny thing. My son came home from college. Now every year we went out to the shut-ins at Christmas and we would carol them and we would take them gifts. He came home from college and I said, well, we're going tonight to carol the shut-ins. I'm not going, Dad. I said, get in the car. He didn't want to go, but after he went, he was glad he went. Now, 15, 20 years later, he's got teenagers. He called me last winter. I had to chuckle. I said, what you doing? He said, oh, we're getting ready, Dad. We just packed gifts in the car, and I'm taking the family out, and we're going caroling. The shut-in. Amen. It just tickled me pink. Anyway, Genesis 35 and verse 1. So we need to be able to arise from what we're doing. Number two, go. Go up to Bethel, he said. Here the implication is that I cannot hear the voice of God while I'm doing what I'm currently doing. I need to go to Bethel. I need to get to where I can be alone with God. And so there's a going. Too often we're multitasking while we're seeking God. Mm-hmm. We really compliment ourselves, don't we, on our multitasking? But when we seek God, that's some time to shut off all the other thoughts and the other things. And so there's a special place that God wants to meet every one of us as men. And that special place is where you can be undistracted and clearly hear what He wants to tell you. In our lives, Shirley and I would plan a two-day getaway every year. On our getaway, we would go to a motel and just have some nice meals and so forth. But we would discuss how each one of our children were doing. Mm. And we'd spend time. She's homeschooling, and I see things at other times. And I'll say, honey, what do you see is going on in Chris's life right now? Well, and she would start to tell me, and the more we talked, the more she would elaborate on it. And then we would talk about the direction. What do we need to do in Chris's life? What is it? What's the direction that's next that we need to steer him in, bend him toward? What is it? And so we would discuss that. Then we would stop and pray over Chris. And both of us would pray and intercede. Then it was Heidi. our second child, and we do the same thing. And then Marsha, our third child. And so spend some time away. It was on one of those getaways that God began to prompt Shirley and me that we need to start writing books and getting them published like that. And when you get away, boy, and clear the cobwebs out of your head and have times before God, boy, a lot can be accomplished. And so have some time for that. I wonder if God is speaking to someone about going. Get away from your humdrum, from your daily schedule, or your having that time in prayer every day and making room for it. And then the third thing, the third directive here is make an altar. Make an altar. There, make an altar. Make there an altar unto God. I'll get it right after a while. I wonder if God is speaking to a man here to make an altar for himself. And in making an altar for himself, a man never goes into an altar by himself or for only himself. It won't be long before you're praying before God, and you know what will come to your heart, the things that are most precious to you. You know, I have a lot of things, but the only eternal things that I have are my wife, my children. They're going to live somewhere forever. And so that's valuable to me. That's precious to me. And so I make an altar and talk to the Lord about them. And so making an altar speaks to us of bending a knee and humbling ourselves again to God. As Brother Smith was talking about, it's putting ourselves in a position to hear God's voice. It's us making a sacrifice. It's not something that is easy, because if it was easy, hey, everybody would be doing it. It takes effort. And we must get out of our comfort zone to make an altar before God. And I challenge you, men, to make sure that you do that. That's a little bit like what we talked about yesterday. But our last thought now is in Genesis 35 and verse 2. The father then commands the family. God commands the father. God tells the father what to do. Now, if we aren't going to do what God says, well, you know, we can't get to this one. There's a lot of fathers trying to command their families to have a talk to God. And that's why we're getting mixed up in our families. We need to talk to God, let God tell us what to do, and then we command our families. God commands the man, and the man then rises to command his family. In verse 2, then Jacob said unto his household, here it is, and all that were with him. And the verse goes on. So you are unable to command your family rightly until you obey God's command yourself and get alone with God. However, when you have been with the Lord and you know his direction, well, you know exactly what to tell your family. And you can be confident if God gave it to you. That's your job to obey the Lord. You command your family. It's your family's job to obey you. Now, it's going to be hard for them to obey you if you don't obey authority in your life. If you make light of authority in your life, good luck. That's the best I can wish you. Again, if you ever lead contrary to the Word of God, they're under no obligation to follow. We lead in conjunction with the Word of God. So it's imperative that we hear from the Lord on our family. Now, what are we to do? We command our family after us. What is it that we command them in verse 2? In verse 2, it's to cleanse the house of all evil. Get it all out. Your job, Father. Not Mama's job. Your job. You ought to be able to discern what is right and what is wrong and what is going on in our house. You know, we get so familiar with our house, we don't even realize what the kids have gotten into sometimes. And so it says, put away the strange god gods that are among us, among you, and be clean and change your garments. So the family can't have revival until God sees the holiness of God, takes it seriously, sees his own sin as being exceeding sinful, and confesses that, and gets rid of filthy TV shows and the country and western junk and the dirty websites and the wrong magazines and the things that take his time away from God. Maybe even a hobby. But we have to get those things out that we may get serious about raising our family for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but I've always had that hobby. Great. Choose your hobby over your kids and then answer to God one day for that one.
That's right.
Watch your kids go to the devil and to carnality and become lukewarm, Laodicean children because you had to have your hobby.
Amen.
A family can't have revival till mom gets rid of her filthy love story paperbacks and her preoccupation with her Facebook and her texting and things that take her time away from the Lord and her family. And the whole family can't have revival till the children get rid of their rock music and their fixation on the TV and the computer and the cell phone and the texting and the Facebook and the computer game. And on it goes, the things that take the time away from the Lord.
Amen.
I tried to get a hold of my son. He's got an app that he uses. He's never given his children a cell phone. They're 17, 15,
Amen.
And 13.
Amen.
They never have had a cell phone. But his son's getting ready for college, my grandson. And so he bought his children one phone that they share. Then he found an app that tells him every person that they text, every person that they call, how long they talk, where they are at any moment, and on it goes. It's extremely thorough and inexpensive. I like that word too. So I tried to, if he'll get back to me before evening service, I'll tell you over the pulpit what that app is, and you may have one of your own. But Jacob, God said, you need to help clean your house out. I don't think Jacob thought he had to. I don't think Jacob could see anything that needed to be cleared out. I wonder if God's prompting a man here today that you need to take an inspection tour again.
Amen.
If you're serious about God sending family revival, what is it in your home that's distracting your family from revival, from serving God fully? What is working against your family? What is dragging them down spiritually? What is it that is occupying all of their time? You need to clean it out. Remember that God showed Jacob exactly what it was. He said, clean out the strange gods, put away. By the way, this is something that Jacob was blind to not very many verses before this. In Genesis 31, 35, and 36, 31 verses 35 and 36, Laban had accused Jacob's family of stealing his idols when they left. Remember that? And Jacob became upset. What do you mean? I mean, he was offended. He was indignant. Why? What would you come and accuse us? Not my family. We wouldn't do anything like this. But just a couple minutes with the Lord, and the Lord revealed to him, you need to put away the strange gods and get your family to do it too. And then he knew he had a problem.
Yeah.
We just need that time with God. And don't bristle. And don't be indignant if God says, you got a problem. Face up to it and do something about it. That's what he's saying here. And so, have you looked at their toys closely?
Yeah.
You know, grandparents like to give the wrong kind of toys sometimes.
Yeah.
It's the latest thing that they see advertised, so they get it for our kids. I remember when that happened. That our kids were gracious, said thank you to Grandma and Grandpa. And as soon as we got in the car, I said, "Now make sure that I get those toys." Because we're not playing with those toys. Screen their toys. What about their wall posters? Have you really looked closely? Their CDs. What they're listening to. Their cell phones and their apps and their computers and their websites and their favorites. Have you done a full inspection of their rooms and their drawers and what's in them and under the bed? And have you inspected their closet and their vehicle? And if they're driving, be funny for a five-year-old to have a vehicle, but you know, a teenage vehicle and their precepts on their radio. Have you talked to their friends and know their friends and who their coworkers are? And they mention names. Do you pry into it and say, "I'd like to meet him. I'd like to meet her." Get to know who they are. What books and magazines are your children reading? Do you still have house rules? Do you enforce the house rules? One night my son went over to his good friend's house. He was on break from college. And it was 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock when he's in college, you're to be home. I think it was 10:30 actually. I waited till 11 o'clock. He wasn't there. I got in the car and drove to his friend's home. And I thought, I'd better find him here, or I'd really be upset. And I found him there. Boy, was he mad. He was upset. He was embarrassed that Dad would chase him down. I said, "Son, you're still under my house. I'm still putting the food on the table for you. And you're going to abide by the rules. It doesn't end just because you're 20 or whatever it is. There's no age to this thing. If you're under my house, you're under my rules." And I took him home. We didn't have that problem anymore. That took care of it. And so always before, he was compliant, and he was after that. But that one night, we had it out. So Jacob woke up spiritually and commanded his family to get rid of all of this stuff that they had accumulated that was not godly. And so you may say, "Well, my children, they won't understand if I do this. They'll rebel." Listen, they've already rebelled. Depends on how you approach it. You see, you've goofed up, if that's the case. And so, you can't come in like gangbusters now. You need to go to your children and apologize. Humble yourself. Get alone with God, get the approach, get the wording, and you go to your children and say, "And I've allowed some things here, son. I know. I'm seeing God showing me that this isn't right, and we need to change this. I love you. You're doing a good job in so many areas, and brag on the things that you can brag on. But at the end of the day, we just can't have this stuff in our home. It's not helping you. You have to admit, son, this thing's not helping you." "Well, yeah, I knew that." And you approach it with humility. You approach your children, and they'll respond. They want that relationship with you. Many more things I could say. Let's call it good right there. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Lend me your heart right now.